this Sabbath day, we're so privileged to be able to have Doug Garcia with us. He comes to us from Better Life Broadcasting Network. He's no stranger to you if you're a Better Lifer. And as he comes here today, I know that God has placed a special message on his heart. He said, "Pastor, what do you want me to preach about?" I said, "Well, you preach about what the Lord puts on your heart. That's what you preach about." And Doug, we're so glad to have you be here, and we know that God will use you mightily. The time is yours.
Good morning, everyone. It is good to be with you this Sabbath morning. I've got some stuff to share with you that I think you're really going to enjoy. As the pastor said, I'm with Better Life Broadcasting Network, and I know many of you already know what that's about, but just in case there's somebody who's visiting, let me just do a little recap for you. Better Life is a television ministry headquartered in Grants Pass, Oregon, that broadcasts four channels, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of Adventist, Seventh-day Adventist Christian programming. We're coming up on our 30th year of existence. And I tell people that what God has given this region, what God has given us and you, me and you, is the most wonderful gift of evangelism. Because we have a bullhorn, as it were, that'll send out the message. Do you know how many communities around the country would love to have what we have right here? So many. But the Lord gave us the gift nearly 30 years ago. Now, recently we put together a video because we were doing a little fundraiser. We wanted to share what was happening at Better Life, and I thought you would enjoy seeing that video as well. So we're going to take a few moments and play the video about God's wonderful gift.
The Bible tells us we've all been invited to go on an amazing trip, with an invitation being given by the Son of God himself, because Jesus wants to take us all on a wonderful trip to heaven. The problem is that many people don't have any idea of this incredible opportunity. How will we let them know? An answer to that question came in 1990, when God gave Southern Oregon an unexpected gift, an amazingly effective way to tell our part of the world about God's great love for them. And that gift was Better Life Broadcasting Network. In the beginning, many volunteers accepted that gift. They didn't have much experience, but they had willing hearts. So they dug, built, and painted. They produced, recorded, and edited. And they began making the most of this new powerful tool. After all, Satan had many TV channels. Shouldn't God have at least one? As the invitation to join God on this wonderful trip has gone out, many have responded.
It's been about 20 years ago I started listening to Better Life Television. And oh, it just absolutely floored me how much I learned. It was Doug Batchelor's series he had in 2000, and it convinced me, and I couldn't wait to join the church. Such a wonderful way to go into the homes and teach people about the Bible.
So a friend who was staying with me directed me to a TV station, and I had seen others, but they still weren't teaching what the Bible said. So when he introduced me to Better Life, I turned it on, and lo and behold, everything I was hearing on there was what I understood to be the truth in the Bible, and that's what I wanted to do, was follow the Bible. And since that time, 10 years ago, I have not stopped watching Better Life Television. So my mom, about a year after I started reading the Bible and found Better Life Television and started in the church, my mom saw changes in me. And she didn't understand what those changes were, but she liked them. So I directed her to Better Lives to help her get a better understanding of why I chose to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And after watching Better Life and then making the choice to come to church with me, she was baptized as well, and a big part of that was because of Better Life Television.
The way I came into the Seventh-day Adventist Church is through Better Life TV. I was laying on my couch in Eugene, Oregon, very, very sick, and listening to the Nature Channel. And one night, the music was gone, the pictures were gone, and there was preaching on there. And I started hearing things I'd never heard before. I pulled my Bible off the shelf, looked it up. Lo and behold, it was God's Word. And I started watching more and more. I started learning more and more. And finally, I became convinced this was the truth and that I needed to walk in the truth. And so I got in touch with a Seventh-day Adventist church, started going, did Bible studies, got baptized, and here I am today, and it's all because of Better Life.
I moved into my travel trailer. I had a TV that had one station, Better Life, and I started watching it and started getting the answers that I needed to deal with my past.
Well, Better Life was what actually brought us into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Why would we want to support Better Life? It's what better experience could one get than to show somebody the pathway to eternal life and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's truly a blessing.
I listen to Doug Batchelor the most, and I just love his sermons. I love his story. I was always going to church, but I never read the Bible like I do now. We have a friend who's 101. She just had a birthday party, and she says, "Guess who likes the Seventh-day Adventists? I do. I listen to them every day," and I was just so pleased to hear that, you know, the word's out there, and it's great.
Marta and I moved from Southern California to Southern Oregon in 1995. In 1998, through the broadcast of Better Life Broadcasting Network, we became Seventh-day Adventist Christians. In the year 2000, the board at Better Life Broadcasting asked us to manage the station here. We decided that we could do that for a short time, and that short time turned into a wonderful 15 years to watch what God did throughout those 15 years in reaching many lives for Christ.
One of my favorite stories about Better Life is about a lady who was in her last days at one of the nursing homes locally, and she was being pushed down the hallway and saw through an open door Better Life Television, and she said, "I need that. I need that in my room." And not long after that, she was baptized before she passed. It was such a sweet, sweet story.
One time, I flipped through the channels, and I noticed my Dr. Personius talking something, but I didn't know what he was talking about. Yeah, and I decided, it looks like it's a good channel because it's my doctor. And I start to listen, and word by word, I start to learn English, and I start to understand English. When I learn about health through Better Life Television, what happened with me, my doctor lost a patient. My heart back to normal, and pacemaker is dead, and I don't need it anymore. Better Life taught me to understand better God. God is my friend. Better life for me is the best life.
And as we were changing some channels one day, we found Better Life. What we heard on Better Life was very interesting to us. KBLN teaches the truth.
How grateful I've been for Better Life Television introducing me to the truth of the Bible. And I'm so grateful that through it, I have joined the Grants Pass Seventh-day Adventist Church and found it to be the most beautiful thing in my life now that I've ever had.
I work at a local podiatry office. I see lots of people every week. And I remember especially one lady who came in. She was an elderly lady, didn't get out of the house too often. And she said, "I know you." And I said, "You do?" And she said, Yes, I see you on Boots and Bibles on the Better Life Network. And I said, oh, so you watch Better Life? And she said, all day long. She said, the news really bothers me on other channels, and I've decided that I don't want to listen to them anymore because all they do is upset me. But I know when I watch Better Life that I will feel much better during the day. So I just leave it on all day. She's not alone. There's a lot of lonely people out there, and some of them just want to be cheered up. And so they've told me just this last week, a couple ladies have said, you know, I leave Better Life on all day long. I love the music, the recipes, the kids. I love everything that happens at Better Life.
I befriended a woman in this town. She wasn't living quite a Christian life. And we just became friends and started hanging out. And one day she gave me some bad news that she had terminal cancer. So I started going and visiting her more. And one day she told me she didn't have long to live. And when I showed up one day, she was in a coma. So I took her hand, knowing that her life was slipping away very fast. I took her hand, leaned down towards her ear because she couldn't respond. And I said, I know you can't speak, but I'm going to say the words for you. And you just agree to them in your heart. And a tear came down from her eye when I got done saying that prayer with her. And I knew that she had accepted the Lord.
Through the internet, Better Life's reach has gone far beyond the Pacific Northwest. For example, a man in Ontario, Canada contacted us saying, I enjoy your program, Stories of Faith. Keep it up. A viewer in the United Arab Emirates wrote us saying, you mentioned that book, The Great Controversy. Could you send it to the UAE for free? I enjoy watching your show, and some of your words also spoke to me at just the right time when I was very low. And a viewer in Scotland contacted us saying, I watched the program on YouTube. They are truly inspirational. Please don't discontinue the program. God used one of your stories to communicate something important to me. We've also been contacted by viewers around the United States who've discovered our programs online. As far as evangelistic endeavors go, Better Life is very affordable considering the amount of people reached. A typical traveling evangelist can cost a single church between $20,000 and $35,000 for a one-month event. For just a little more, Better Life can reach multiple cities at once, plus even more people via the internet. And while some people wouldn't leave their homes to attend a church event, they will watch a Bible series from the comfort of their own couch. God's gift of Better Life has been such an incredible blessing. There are so many around the world who would love to have this type of ministry beaming the gospel into their local communities. We can't let this lighthouse go dark. There are still many more souls that can be saved. If you aren't already, won't you consider becoming a regular financial contributor to Better Life? Your gifts, big or small, do make a difference. And your support of Better Life helps to fulfill Christ's command to reach the world. Each day we are 24 hours closer to our departure. Each day we're closer to leaving this troubled world behind. And we want everyone to know about God's wonderful invitation, because the trip we've been invited on is just too good for anyone to pass up.
That's just a little report of what's been going on because of Better Life Television. And as I was putting this video together, you know what I realized? So many of those people that gave their testimonies were now my friends. And I thought, what would our church have been like if we had not had this invitation to come and join the church? I wouldn't have those friends. And you know, they're more than just friends. They are good workers for the church. They've come in and they've gotten involved. It was just been a wonderful experience. Just this last week, I wanted to share with you something that happened. When we arrived at work on Monday morning, there was an email waiting for us, and guess where it was from? Somebody had seen the programming in near Toronto, Canada. This lady contacted us and said, I was watching your program, and I believe it was Stories of Faith. She said, you offered a book, The Great Controversy. Can I get a copy? Well, I looked into it. How much postage would it cost to send over to that region? And it was about like $16. And I said, boy, we've been penny pinching in the office, you know. Is there a better way to do this? And then the Lord, I think, inspired me and said, see if there's a local church. So I went online, and sure enough, thanks to Google and everyone else, I could see in a moment that they had a beautiful church there in that town. So I went on their website, and the pastor was forward-thinking enough to put his personal phone number on his website, and I contacted him, and within minutes, he had gotten back to me. And I told him the situation, there's a lady that wants a book, and he said, we'll take care of it. Before the end of last week, that lady had a copy in her home. And now he's planning, now she's out of town, she told me, he's planning on stopping by and saying hello next week. So we're working because we have a ministry, because the Lord gave us this ministry for our local community through the internet. Now it's expanding, and we're working with churches way over in Ontario, Canada. It's just been such a wonderful experience. At the end of the service today, as I greet you, I'd like to share with you the latest newsletter for November for Better Life. And I'll be giving you each a copy, whoever wants a copy, at the end there. On the back is the program schedule with what programs show at what times. And inside you'll find an envelope. We're asking church members throughout the region, this has been such a dynamo for evangelism, we're asking for your support. If you feel compelled, if the Lord impresses you, to become a monthly contributor, 20, 30, 60, whatever dollars the Lord impresses, to help keep this moving forward. Right now, it's been a little slow. Our equipment is sometimes breaking down, and we don't have the funds to replace it sometimes. We've recently had fundraisers that have helped us to build up the funds again, but this is an ongoing endeavor, and we need your help. So we'll be sharing this at the end of the program with you. Now I want to switch gears, and let's talk about the Lord's Word. Can we bow our heads for just a moment again? Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for a special blessing of communication. May what is said and what is heard be according to your will, that you can impress our hearts with your word. We pray for your blessing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you saw the title of the sermon today, did you see that in the bulletin? God knew you needed a vacation. That's good news, right? God knew you needed a vacation. Have you guessed what the topic is? If you saw the verse, the topic will be the Sabbath. I wanted to share that with you today. But there is a story that I like to tell sometimes for children's story that I thought could help illustrate this. I don't know if you've heard it before. I don't think I've told it at this church, but it bears repeating. A missionary came through our office over at Better Life one day and said, and shared this story, and so now I'm sharing it with you. In India, they've got villages, and in one particular village, a group had just been set up to become Seventh-day Adventists. It was brand new. And they were learning, and they were growing, and they were a small company at the time. Now, this village in India has a problem that we don't have, praise the Lord. And this problem happens to be that every now and then, roving bands of monkeys come through town. Now, I'm really glad we don't have this problem, because in their area, when a roving band of monkeys comes through the area, it causes havoc. They can tear up your farm. So when the villagers hear that the monkeys are on the rampage coming through, they'll start to prepare. You'll want to go out and get a hefty stick. You'll want to secure things. You'll want to do, you know, make sure, because things might not be bad. Might not turn out good, I mean. Well, one day they heard the monkeys are coming. But wouldn't you know, they heard this on Friday. And they said the monkeys will be here tomorrow. Well, this new band of believers, this new band of Seventh-day Adventists, they got together and started saying, do you think that God wants us to fight the monkeys on Sabbath? This has never come up before. Should we fight the monkeys or should we go to church? And you know, they really had to think this one through. And the neighbor said, you know, I hear you might not be fighting the monkeys tomorrow. We'll just want to let you know that if you don't, that when all your food gets stolen, don't come to us the rest of the season to give you our food, because we're not going to share. Well, that made it a little more important. What are they going to do? Well, this little company got together and they talked and talked and prayed probably. And by the time they came up with their answer, they said, nope, we're going to church. we'll let God take care of the monkeys, and we'll go to church. Now, this took quite a bit of faith for a new believer, as you can imagine, especially if your food is on the line. But they went to church. So they had their service, and they had their thing. And for them, it was an all-day affair, apparently, from the way the story went. And you know how I think one of the teenagers just got so curious, couldn't stand it, had to know what was happening back at home, kind of snuck away, took a peek. Before long, running back to the group, you got to come see, you got to come see. Our houses haven't been touched. Our houses haven't been touched. The villagers were all, the company was all excited. They left the church area and went down to where their house, checked them out towards sundown, and sure enough, their houses had been spared. But there were their neighbors. Saw their neighbors. Oh, sweaty, hair hanging down, been swinging that thing all day. They said, "Where you been?" "Well, we've been at church. What have you been doing?" "We've been fighting the monkeys. We had to keep them off." And then they told them, they said, "Why haven't you been fighting the monkeys?" "Because we've been at church. We prayed for God to take care of it." This so impressed the other villagers, they wanted to learn about the God who could control the monkeys. It became an evangelistic thing. Wonderful story. Wonderful way that God blessed their faith. When I speak about Bible things, sometimes we talk to people on the phone. We've got a small group at Better Life, so a number of us answer the phones besides the normal things we normally do. But when I talk to people on the phone, I like to keep it simple. I figure that Jesus kept it simple. If you read any of the Gospels, how Jesus talked to people, plain, very plain, simple English, it wasn't English, simple words. And I said, I want to do that. I want to talk like Jesus did, plain and simple about the truths of God. So I try, and I'm working on that, and I pray that the Lord will help me. But I've been looking for different ways to bring things up. One day I was walking through my neighborhood, and a couple of missionary boys were wandering through. You know, sometimes you have time to talk, and sometimes you don't want to talk. At first I said, "Oh, I don't want to talk." But they spotted me, came over. "Can we talk to you about our religion or whatever?" They said, "What religion are you with?" And I thought I would throw them for a loop. And I said, "Well, I have decided to join one of the only churches in the world that keep the Ten Commandments." They said, "Well, we keep the Ten Commandments." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, what about number four?" And they said, "What's number four?" And I said, "Well, you know, the one about Sabbath." And so we had a little talk, and I explained to them some of the things that I'm going to explain to you in a minute. And that kind of left them with something to think about as we parted ways. But I bet they had never been approached in that way before. One time a man called Better Life, and he was mad at us. Occasionally we'll get somebody who's mad at us. And he was mad at us, and he said, "Why do you guys talk so much about health?" I don't know what bee got in his bonnet, but he was upset. "Why do you talk so much about health?" So once again, I think the Lord put it in my mind, and I said, "Well, you know, as a church, we typically live 10 years longer than everybody else, and we thought it would be a nice thing to share that information with you." Well, that took the wind right out of his sails. What are you going to say to somebody who wants to help you? So that was the end of that, pretty much. But as I was thinking about it, I wanted to share one more thing with you. I wanted to think about the things of God in simple terms. On Facebook, those of you who are my friends may have seen that I recently posted the phrase, "God wants you to be happy." God wants you to be happy, right? God wants you to be happy. When you fight him, you fight against your own happiness. Did you ever think about that? When you fight God and say, "I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that," you're fighting against your own happiness. Well, the issue is the Sabbath. And I thought to myself, is there a quick way that we could easily give a quick Bible study about the Sabbath to somebody on the phone? Or maybe you're talking to your neighbor and they're asking why you're dressed up one Sabbath afternoon. And I said, "You know what I think we can do? I think we can give a mini Bible study in 7 points on the Sabbath." And I worked it out. I'm practicing, remember? I worked it out, and I want to share it with you. So you may want to jot this down, because I'll make it as simple as I can. Okay? 7 points. Quick Bible study about the Sabbath. Point number one. The key words you're going to write down are creations, holy day. Step one is creations, holy day. Now, another thing I worked out with this Bible study is that it's chronological. It's easier for us to remember things in chronological order. So this follows history's timeline chronologically. So point number one, creation's holy day. And the verse for this one is Genesis 2:1. Genesis 2:1-3. Genesis 2:1-3. And it's one we all know. In fact, you could probably easily memorize it. These 7 points could be easily memorized. But just in case, let me read it out loud. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work from which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work that which God had created and made. Now the key words of that verse are, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Because you could stop there and say, God just rested. But no, it was more than rest. He did more than just stop and look back at what he had done. He blessed it and sanctified it. Do you know what sanctified means? Set apart for a holy purpose. He made it holy. It's different now. All of a sudden. Okay, so that's point number one. You got that in your Bible study? Good. Okay. Point number two now, the key words to write down are the manna miracle. The manna miracle. Okay, we're going through history now. And the verse that I use for this is Genesis 16:23-26. Genesis 16:23-26. You'll remember the children of Israel were traveling and they needed food. What were they going to do for food? You got a lot of people to deal with here. And God said, I can handle that. I can handle that. And he gave them the blessing of manna. But there was something built into that blessing that we want to take special note of. Beginning with verse 23, it says, And he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Now, it's a good time at this point to point out to the people that this was before Mount Sinai. God said this before the Ten Commandments. So we know that he started it at creation. We know that before the Ten Commandments, God says, oh, by the way, this is my holy day. Still. And he says, bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning, as Moses had commanded, and it did not stink. You see, the miracle is that if you saved manna the rest of the week overnight, it would spoil badly. But on Friday night, it wouldn't spoil. That was the miracle. Nor were there any worms in it, verse 25, and Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath of the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. So, the manna miracle is point two in your Bible study. Very easy, right? Okay. Point three. Now we're going to go forward just a little bit in time. We're going to go to Mount Sinai. And the key words here are written in stone. Written in stone. And of course, this is the Sabbath commandment of Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Once again, we're pointing back to creation, saying, because of that, we're doing this. The reason for Sabbath is that, and we're doing this. Now, there's a significance to being written in stone. Whenever God does something, he does it for a reason. And this is the only time in the scriptures where God writes anything, short of where we read Jesus writing in the dust when the woman in adultery is brought to him. Otherwise, you don't read a lot about God writing things. So it's significant because God wrote something. That's very significant. And two, it's very significant because God wrote it in stone. You know, we have a phrase, that's written in stone. There's a reason for that phrase, because whatever is in stone is permanent. Now you look at the other commandments around there, thou shalt not kill, commit adultery, steal, covet. Was it ever right to break any of those commandments before Mount Sinai, or even before Adam and Eve sinned? It was never right to do those things. Those were always wrong things to do. Will it ever be right in the future, maybe when we're in heaven, to commit adultery, to lie, cheat, and steal? No, no, never. So the reason that those things are all written in stone is because it's permanent. It's a forever. So right in the middle of the forevers, God says, you're going to meet with me every Sabbath. That's a forever thing. Okay, so that was your point number three, written in stone. Point number four, the key words are inside the ark. Inside the ark. We're going to stay in the Exodus area of the Bible for the next one. Where did Moses put the Ten Commandments? I had just said it, yeah, inside the ark. And where did Moses put the laws, the other laws that God told him to write down himself? Beside the ark. There's two verses that'll explain that. The first one is Ten Commandments inside is Exodus 25:21. And the one about them being on the side of the ark is Deuteronomy 31:26. In Exodus 25:21, it says, "And the ark in the ark you shall put the testimony I shall give you." And in the Deuteronomy 31:26 verse, it says, "Take this book of the law and put it beside the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God." Okay, so now we know there's two different things here. Now the things that God wrote went inside the ark; they were the soul of it, the center of it, like it was a symbol of God's throne. That was the base of it, as it were. And then on the side went all the other things. Now what did Moses end up writing up that went up on the side? It was the rules about how you get along with each other. It was the health rules, the health laws. And it was the laws about the sacrifice, about slaying the lamb and doing these things. And among those were the ceremonial Sabbaths. So the blocks inside the ark talked about the fourth commandment Sabbath weekly, and on the side of the ark were the writings about the ceremonial Sabbaths that occurred other times. There was a difference. There was a distinction. Okay? That was point number four. Point number five, we're going to go forward to Jesus' time, and the key words for point number five are the torn veil. The torn veil. And the text for this one is Matthew 27:51. Matthew 27:51. "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." What time in history is this talking about? The crucifixion of Christ. So at the crucifixion of Christ, the veil in the temple is torn from top to bottom. What is the significance of being torn from top to bottom? It wasn't a human. From the bottom, you can pull a curtain and you can tear it from the bottom. But to tear from top to bottom, especially this curtain, required a supernatural act. So by supernatural act, this curtain is torn. So what does that tell us? It tells us now, we know, the end of ceremonies. The things that Moses had written that ended up beside the ark, it's done. Ceremonial Sabbaths, they're done. What law was nailed to the cross? The ones on the side of the ark. The ones that talked about the sacrifice, as it were. Not the health laws, but the laws that talked about the sacrifice. Those didn't need to happen anymore. So the torn veil, number five, tells us there's a difference. And this point number five is important because they'll read you the verse that says, judge no man in regards to, you know, that kind of thing. And this is the answer to that. So that's why you'll want to know that. Now, number six, point number six. This is not a Bible verse, but you'll understand in a second. The key words are not a word. Not a word. And the reason I don't have a Bible text for point number six is because there is one, none. Where did the disciples change the Sabbath? There's not a word. There's not a word. Have you ever stopped to think? There was such a commotion that happened because of the issue of circumcision. You remember that? Oh, big, big issue. What do you think the result would have been if the disciples had gone in and said, hey, you know the fourth commandment, the one that's inside the ark, that's not valid anymore? Would you have heard something about that? It would have caused a major blow-up. but there's not a word. And in fact, we know that historically, the Sabbath wasn't changed until about 150, 200 years later. We know that now. So that brings us to point number 7. And you'll know these words easy. Kept in heaven. Kept in heaven. From Isaiah 66, we read that today for our scripture reading. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me, says the Lord. So we found a string through scripture of the Sabbath from the very beginning to the very future we're looking forward to, and it's always the Sabbath written in stone. So if you memorize these three little words for these 7 little points, you could quickly give somebody on the bus, on the hiking trail, a quick overview of what the Bible says about the Sabbath like that. And if you memorize the Bible verses, you'd really impress them. So let me recount in case you missed one. Point number 1, creation's holy day, Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Number 2, the manna miracle, Genesis 16, 23 through 26. I'm sorry, Exodus. Boy, I got a typo there, thank you. Number 3, written in stone, Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Am I still right? Okay. You can correct me, that's okay. I've been known to slip in typos. People catch me. Number 4, inside the ark, Exodus 25, 21, and Deuteronomy 31, 26. Number 5, the torn veil, Matthew 27, 51. Number 6 doesn't have a verse, it's not a word. And number 7, kept in heaven, Isaiah 66, 23. For me, this is simple. I can do this easily, I can do it on the phone easily. And I thought you might appreciate it too, so I wanted to share it. One day we got a call at the office and the guy said, you know, I've been keeping the Sabbath, but my son's asking me, how do you know what day? How do you know you're keeping the right day? How do you know that this Saturday is the day still, that it's not been messed up in history? And that's pretty easy to determine. You just say, okay, what day did Jesus keep? Okay, so Jesus established a Sabbath. In all of his life, he never changed it, and he would have had it been wrong. So we know Jesus kept Saturday. Now, from the time of Jesus till today, there is a group of people who religiously watch the Sabbath to make sure it is kept properly. What group of people might I be thinking of? The Jews. Do you think somebody could have slipped something into the Jews that changed the day throughout the entire world? No. The same day Jesus kept is the same day we're keeping now. It's been kept. And that's what I told him. I said, tell your son this. But there's something special about the Sabbath day that I wanted to share with you, but I wanted to do it through a story. I don't know if any of you, you know, a lot of you are on the computer, Facebook and stuff. You might have seen this video that came up. It was cute, and it happened, I think, a number of years ago. But in this video, if you watch it, you see a man getting ready for a date. He's got his buddy next to him, and he's, you know, shaving and getting all ready, and his buddy's asking, are you nervous? He says, well, it's been a while. Gets all nice and clean, gets really dressed up. And you see the man go to leave the front door of his house. He takes a few steps off his porch, stops, turns around, and goes back to his own front door. He kneels down and knocks. Moments later, the door opens, and it's his little 3-year-old girl. Oh, and she's all dressed up too. And she just has the biggest smile on her face. Well, it was a daddy-daughter date. And they decided to go to the back porch, all the way to the back porch. And there was a nice thing set up, and now the gentleman's friend is now their waiter. And they've got strawberries, and they've got peanut butter sandwiches. Oh, this is, and her, once again, the little girl, beaming. Her face is just beaming. And then afterwards, daddy takes her to the park, and she plays on the swings. And in all the scenes, the girl is just having the most wonderful time. Now, I want you to think about the Sabbath. And if when you think about the Sabbath, you don't have the feelings of that little girl with her daddy, then you've missed it. You've missed it. The Sabbath is our special time with daddy. The Sabbath makes us special. How does the Sabbath make us special? It's because God's saying, I want to spend time with you. and I will spend time with each one of you. God has the wonderful ability to spend time with each of you as if you were the only person on earth, because he's God and he can do that. We can't do that. If you want to spend time with me, make an appointment. But with God, he says, I can be talking to you heart to heart, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, all at the same time. So on Sabbath, it's our time. I'm God, I can handle it. That's what he does. So the Sabbath makes us special. On the program Stories of Faith, we shared a story one time about one of our friend's moms who had a problem. We had a worker, he no longer works there because he got married, decided to leave. His name was Netto. Some of you have met him. Netto's mom had a problem with the Sabbath. Have you heard the story? It bears repeating. It's a good story. It's so good that I want to read it to you because I don't want to miss the details. It's the details that really, really bring it out. This is his mom's story. Now, she was in Brazil. Netto is from Brazil. She was in Brazil when this happened. And according to this note that I made, she was at the University of São Paulo, the biggest university in Brazil at the time that this story happened. Okay? So you have to get your mindset. You're in Brazil, big university, and she writes this. When I went to college, I tried to do my classes I had to do so they would not fall on Saturday, just so I would not have a problem because I was an Adventist. In the fourth year, I would have had to do a class. I had to do a class that without it, I would not graduate. And I was very happy because the classes were during the week and none of them were on the Sabbath. But the teacher in the middle of the year decided that they would be giving a lesson now on Saturday. I was very sad, but I went to speak to the professor. So she did the right thing, right? She has a problem, first thing you do, go to the professor. Well, the professor heard me with a smile on her face, and when I finished speaking, she smiled sarcastically and told me that I would not pass with my absences, even if I managed to get an A on all of my tests. I went to the director of the history department, but he said that the teachers had autonomy in their schedules and that the university could do nothing about it. I then went back to speak with the professor, and she told me, talk to your pastor. Maybe he'll give you special permission. I told her that the pastor had nothing to do with it, that the problem was with me and God, and that the Lord would solve this problem for me if he wanted to. That was step number one. Did you notice what she did there? She took the step to say it publicly. I believe God can help me with this. Right to the face of her professor. I went home, and that night I asked the church members and friends to pray with for me. For a whole semester, we woke up at dawn to pray that God would intervene in my behalf. I put the problem in God's hands. I decided that I would take the course as if there was no problem. Just like the normal course, I studied, and I got the best grades in the class. Later, I went back to the professor to plea for her to change her mind and help my situation. And then she told me that she would not change anything and that I would fail her class. She even joked about seeing me back in her class the following year. There's no sympathy there. I said if God wanted to help me, he would help me. Then she said, now listen to this, you ready? Then she said, I want to see if your God is stronger than I am. I want to see if he has more power than I do here at the university. This poor lady didn't know what she was getting herself into. She just didn't know better. I returned home and continued to pray. Throughout the quarter, I could have up to 18 missed days, but during this time, we would have 19 Saturdays. One day off. She's one day off. So I would fail just because of a single absence. On the very last Friday of the quarter, I went to school sad because I'd have to redo the whole course from the beginning, even though I was the best student in the whole class. But I was happy because everyone at the university knew my story and knew that I was being faithful to God. So here she is in her fourth year, and I'm assuming by the story that this is the end of her, you know, she wants to get on with her life, and this one class is standing in her way. This one Sabbath problem is standing in her way. Okay, but listen to the rest of the story. When I got to the main entrance of the history building, about 30 people were there cheering for me. 30 people had gathered cheering for her. I had the biggest surprise. All of my colleagues were waiting for me because a former university principal who had been sick for a long time had died that Friday. Because of that, we would have a holiday with no classes on Friday and Saturday in his honor. That's how everyone knew my God was powerful. On that day, I went to my professor's office desk, and she wasn't there, so I left her a card that said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I graduated with honors, and I had one of the best grades in the university that year. God can do the same for you if you trust him. Isn't that a wonderful story? I'm going to keep that one around. So friends, I wanted to share with you today the wonder of the Sabbath. We serve a wonderful God, and to commemorate his creation is a wonderful thing. I was reading some biology books. I like to read biology stuff, but sometimes they publish things on the web that are really deep. I'm like, can't you just say it in plain English? But I tried to wade through because this looked important to me. You know, our DNA is just incredible. The complexity of it, the fact that those are the instructions that built each of us, just mind-boggling. But scientists have thought there's junk DNA in there because they assume we came from evolution. You know, we evolved. And they said, well, that's got to be junk DNA. That's, you know, it's just expected. But scientists recently have discovered that, you know, there's more to this DNA than we knew. It looks like things are being secretly encoded that we didn't understand before. So DNA was complex to begin with. Now it's becoming even more complex. And one of the things they've learned is that there's a weird thing happening where you can read the DNA code both forward and backward, and it does two different things. So I think the nearest thing that I can liken this to is, imagine I handed you a short story, and you read it, and you said, wow, this is a good story. I say, now read it backwards. Read every word, but start from the bottom, and it would tell a whole other story. Now, you'd have to be pretty smart to come up with a nice little story like that. Your DNA already does it. Your DNA is encoded with all this information wound in and among itself, and that's the God that we serve. So as we celebrate the Sabbath today, you can know your dad is really smart. Your heavenly Father is amazing. Yeah. There is a song that we're going to close with that talks about the Sabbath. Do we have song lead? And the number is 382.
We'll sing all stanzas of this song. Let's stand up. Before
hearts for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so appreciative for all that you've done for us. And perhaps the greatest blessing in what was said today is the fact you want to spend time with us. And you've made provision for this so that we don't spend time away from you very long before there we are, back with you again. We thank you for your love and care, Lord. We ask that you put into our hearts the words of Scripture so that we will have something to say should the opportunity arise. Be with us now as we continue into your holy day, we pray in Jesus' name.